Okay, so basically what Paul's trying to say, okay, he's trying to establish truth that all men are guilty of God's judgment because we are all condemned without the grace of Jesus. And then he went on to show in Romans 3 especially that we are totally incapable of saving ourselves apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank God he didn't stop. Okay, if you read Romans 1, 2, 3, stop at verse 20, you're going to be depressed until you die. Unless you read it superficially. Thank God he didn't stop there. And then from verse 21 to verse 30, verse 31, chapter 3, Paul provide a good news. It's called the gospel. The offer of righteousness from God, called justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay, give you an outline. Then I'm going to run through, unpack. Unpack. Romans 1, chapter 1 to chapter 3, verse 8. Romans chapter 1 to chapter 3, verse 8. I call it the judgment of God is justified and the judgment of God is explained. The judgment of God. No, we have to understand so that we realize, because throughout the entire book of Romans, there are a lot of questions pops up about God is so harsh, God is unfair, and so on and so on. That's why Paul unpack some of this issue and answer all the Romans believer. And two most mentioned word in the book of Romans is certainly not. Certainly not. Okay. Occur many times. Okay. So Romans 1 to chapter 3 verse 8. Judgment of God is justified and judgment of God is explained. Got it? And you can further break down. Okay. In this part, I'm going to unpack again, okay? That's where now Paul is giving the verdict. You know what's a verdict? All men are guilty. Jews or Gentile. Male, female. Young, old. Chinese, non-Chinese. Okay, you got to throw in Chinese because we're primarily Chinese. Yeah, Eurasian too. Okay, so you're not spare. Yeah, so all men are guilty. Jews, Gentile are all guilty, okay? Chapter 1. Verse 18 to 32, okay? Chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. Immoral person is guilty. I tell you, read is scary. The kind of depravity. You know, the word teaches us that we are on this evolution, man gets better and better and better. Read Romans 1, man's not getting better, man is getting worse and worse and worse. Ultimately, there's only one justice. It's called God is going to judge man. Okay, it's scary. Okay, that is a progression. We're going to run through it. Okay, so immoral person is guilty. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is primarily about Jews, but you can break it into two halves. Okay, chapter 2, 1 to 16. Moral person is also guilty. Because no one can live out the legal requirement of God. No one. Then the third one, chapter 2, verse 17 to chapter 3, verse 8. Religious person is also guilty. That's where Paul talks about circumcision. Because Jews bred about their circumcision. That's where Paul took one chapter in chapter 4. Abraham, was he saved by circumcision or by faith? It was by faith. Do you know that the Jews is by faith? The Gentile is through faith. Okay, I explain next week. Okay, so that's Romans 1, verse 3 to 8. Next one, Romans 3, verse 9 to verse 20. Okay, this is the depressive part. Romans 3, verse 9 to 20. I call it the doctrine of our sinful depravity. Doctrine of our sinful depravity. Layman's term. You know what layman's term means? No one is good enough. Doctrine of our sinful depravity. Okay. I tell you, when you read this, it should cause you to feel grief. I know. A lot of times, unfortunately, people like me and every one of us here, when we read this, oh, this is not me. This is about Joshua. This is about Cynthia. This is about Annabelle. I'm not that bad. No, we are all included. I'll show you later, okay, as we read through quickly. Okay. And Romans 3, verse 21 to 32, 31. Romans 3, verse 21 to 31. The offer of free gift of righteousness. Thank God. Praise be to God. after we know how deficient and how depraved we are, now God has a solution. Free gift of righteousness. I tell you, the verse is powerful. It's not just righteousness of God. A better translation is righteousness from God. God is offering His righteousness to us because no amount of our righteousness can save us, but a filthy rag. Wow. Okay. Let's run through briefly. I'm going to start from verse 16. Okay. Romans 1, verse 16. It's a powerful presentation of what the gospel is all about. Two verses, seven truths about what the gospel is about. Explain to us what is the gospel, how to receive the gospel, and how do we walk out in righteousness. Powerful two verses, okay. Paul said this, for there are seven things here, okay. Firstly, Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You must understand, it's not easy for Paul to... Now it's easy for us to say, I'm not ashamed. But you must understand, during those times, Paul actually faced great pressure. In fact, any believer faced great pressure. The fact that you say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, there are a lot of pressure coming on you because they are facing three, in very common, three might, the Greek philosophy. Because during those times, the Greek thinking is supposed to be superior. I know where this gospel is all about. A carpenter offers salvation. Man, carpenter offers salvation. The carpenter even died on the cross, which is a worse way. So it becomes like a laughing stock. The fact that Paul can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he understood something. The second thing that Paul faced is the Romans' might, the strongest army. And he's like, you're standing up there facing the most powerful army in the world. And say, I'm not ashamed. Let's fight. That's what it is about. He's not ashamed of the gospel. You see, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what the gospel of Christ means? Gospel of Christ, you know, technically is called good news. You know why it's good news? Because of what God is doing for man. That's why it's called the gospel. Is centered around what God did for man. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. You know why power of God? Gospel is not just a message. Gospel comes with power. Sad, isn't it? When I read this and I think about it, sad, because sometimes, including myself, we lack power. No, I'm just talking about lack power in doing signs and wonders. I'm talking about lack power to be more than conqueror. That's what the gospel is all about. That's why Paul said this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. Power of God for what? Salvation. You know what salvation means? Salvation means deliverance. It means we are delivered from the penalty of sin. And we are delivered from the power of sin. Firstly, God no longer judges us because He's imputed righteousness. Second, He's given us grace. We can overcome sin. We can be pure. We can be victorious. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation. Another good news for everyone. Not just the Jew. For everyone. Of course, gospel first go to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. See, I challenge you, go and meditate these two verses. Who is doing devo tomorrow? Sing this verse so that we meditate. Go home and write a song. You can go home now, Darren. Go home and write a song so that tomorrow you can benefit. God give you grace. No, we need to let this verse, no, this is the two verses that caused the first Reformation. This is the two verses that caused the John Wesley revival. Just two verses. Now, sometimes we just skim through without realizing the power of it. That's the reality. We have to encounter. No, this is not just for preaching. We have to encounter the truth of the gospel. Verse 17. This is powerful. Verse 17. Paul said this, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. You know, Martin Luther first initially read this verse, he got into depressions. You know why? Because he interpreted it wrongly. He thought this verse means for in it, the requirement, the righteousness, the righteous requirement of God for us. So he got depressed. You know why? He said, no way. No one can live it out. That's why he got depressed for a while until he began to study again. The God pour out the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You know what this verse actually means? For in it, God offer to us his righteousness. God offer to us his righteousness. Why? From faith to faith. Because it's progressive. Because in one verse, it talks about two things. Both justification, because God offered unto us righteousness, and sanctification, because we will be transformed from faith to faith. Okay, not the faith behind, okay? She can grow older, but she'll be transformed from faith to faith too. The last statement is a powerful statement. The just shall live by faith. Wow. Righteousness is based on faith from first to last. That's why I say the just shall live by faith. That's what happened to Abraham. That's why Paul is trying to explain in Romans 4. Was Abraham saved by circumcisions or not circumcisions? I'll talk about it later because it's very interesting. Okay, very, very interesting. Okay, the just shall live by faith. Okay, obviously, Paul quoted this verse from where? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Okay, three times in the New Testament, this verse is being quoted. Romans 1, 17, Galatians 2, 11, if I didn't get it wrong. And the third one is Hebrews 10, 35 or 36. Three times. All three times emphasize on three different things. Romans emphasize on the just. Galatians emphasize on shall live. Hebrew emphasize on by faith. You got to read all three together. Then you begin to understand what this verse is about in the New Testament context. Got it? Okay. Basically, you quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. The just, which Romans is trying to unpack, shall live. Galatians trying to unpack. By faith, Hebrews trying to unpack. Okay, let's go to Romans 1, verse 18 to 32. Romans 1, verse 18 to 32. This is about, now Paul is trying to establish the truth that he start with Gentiles. Okay, the Jew will call it the Gentile dog. Okay, so when Paul began to write this, when the Jew read it, I'm sure they were really happy. See, yeah, they deserve it. They are the dogs, okay? But before he realized it, when he go to chapter 2, whoops, you know, the Jew really got a shock, okay? Okay, Romans 1, verse 18 and 30. Now Paul is trying to establish the truth that all Gentiles are guilty. In fact, this is actually a very sad chapter. Because Paul revealed the root of the depravity of man that ultimately lead to the judgment of God. Okay. Four issues. I'm going to give you all this, then I'm going to read through quickly. Four issues. The first one. This four issues cause the depravity of man. Man get worse and worse. That's how we need to understand this four issues. The first one is verse 18. Verse 18. Suppression of truth. Suppression. That means distort. We're trying to change a little bit to suit us. It all starts there. Verse 18. Suppression of truth. Then the second one. Verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21 and verse 22. Refusal of truth. That means in a way we don't obey. We don't agree. Refusal of truth. Got it? Verse 21, verse 22. The third one. It gets worse and worse. Now we lie about the truth. We lie about the truth. Okay? We lie about the truth. That's verse 25. Verse 25. That's why one of the very scary terms is three times. God give them up. Because they keep going further and further down the road. So there's always the line, the moment you cross, God give you up. Then they cross another line, God give you up. There's the last one, verse 28. Verse 28, that's the worst really. They abandon the truth. They totally abandon the truth. They totally abandon. You can contrast this with four digressions of man by Romans 1. Okay, first one is they know God. They know God. Remember, Paul is trying to say, heaven declares the glory of God. You know, everything reveals God. Okay, they know God. It starts off as we all know God, but because of the suppression of truth, slowly we begin to know. We are not so clear about who God is. And then as we go further, we disobey God. And then we go further and further, we change God. Change God not necessarily means you worship another God. You can change and redefine who Jesus is. And comes to the last one, they hate God. They hate God, which we are seeing right now, which is what Psalms 2 talks about. Wow, scary, isn't it? And in this verse, you're going to read this chapter, Paul lists out 24 sins. Oh, we are all part of it. I look at it. Okay, first one, don't have. Second, I'm okay. Third one, don't have. Oh, kana, got it. Yeah, you just need one. They're all four. We all will find our category. Don't worry about it. That's why you need justification by grace, okay? I'm not going to read through it because I have no time. I better read. Let's read from verse 18. I'm going to read quickly. What a contrast. Verse 17 talk about God offer righteousness, isn't it? Verse 18 now talks about the wrath of God is going to be revealed because of the depravity of mankind. He said this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of man. Why? It begins with, we suppress the truth. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what I always say. Never lower God's law, God's truth, God's requirement to suit us. See, but I can't live it out. Well, we can repent and ask God for grace. You never adjust God's benchmark. That's where we begin to take the road of downhill. We will keep going. Okay. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God, they know God. Everybody know God because heaven declares it. There's no denying that God exists, but it all began with the suppression of truth. We just suppress a little bit, just change a little bit, just to suit us a little bit. Slowly, you begin to realize that you don't really know God as much, and slowly, things begin to go downhill, okay? Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even this eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one have excuse to say there's no God. But because we suppress the truth. And because of that, we keep twisting, we keep getting further and further down the road. Okay, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart were darkened. Started when? Because they suppressed the truth. Don't suppress the truth. Be honest. You can always repent. When you repent, there's mercy. There is grace. Okay. Verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now they change. Remember I talked about they begin to change? Listen to this, verse 23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the last. Actually, God gave them up. Okay, in the last of their hearts to dishonor their bodies, so on and so on. Listen to verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God now, they lie about the truth, which we are seeing right now. People are redefining. They are redefining. In a sense, we are lying about the truth. The moment you redefine the truth, you are telling a lie. Because what is not a truth is a lie. It start off with suppressing. So we don't, never. You can at least repent. No, not at least. That's a great works you do. You repent. Because there's mercy, there's grace. Okay? Just read it on your own, okay? It's a pretty strong chapter, but we all need to read through it. Just that Romans 7, 16 and 17, chapter 1, 16 and 17. Don't sing the entire chapter, okay, Darren. Okay, so that's Romans. Okay, chapter 2. Now chapter 2, verse 1 to 29. Primarily is to the Jews. Primarily is to the Jews. Now Paul is trying to establish the truth that even, because now they bread about the law. Because chapter 1, the Jew is kind of looking down on the general. You have no law. You don't have the law. That's why you can't walk. You don't understand. Now Paul said, yeah, you have the law, but you are as guilty because you are not walking it out. That makes you a hypocrite. Okay. Paul now gives two reasons. Okay. Two reasons why the Jews are guilty. The first one is this. It's not about having the law, but it's to live it out. It's not about having the law, but it's to live it out. That's why Paul lays out very clearly to the Jewish people, say God judged according to three things. According to the truth, according to your deeds. He said, yeah, I done both. Then Paul said, that's outward. But according to the secret of your heart, that failed. That's what it is about. Even the Jews are guilty. Okay, so that's Romans 2, verse 1 to 29. Okay, the second issue is in verse 29, where it talks about it's not the outward appearance, but the inward reality, which we are all incapable of living out. Let me just read quickly. Okay, read quickly. Now he's talking about the Jews. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you who judge, for in whatever, because they judge by the law, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same thing. Say, yeah, you have the law, but you're practicing the same thing. So you're as guilty. Having the law itself does not save you. You have to live it out, but you have no ability. Verse 2. Now, Paul talks about that first thing that God judged is according to the truth. Okay. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth. Against those who practice such things. That means you break the law. Okay. And do you think this, oh man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? See, that's one of the problems with the Jews. They think that they have the law, they automatically are saved. That's why when you read study further, Paul is trying to ask them to repent. But if you understand, that's where the key in the book of Romans is that the Jewish people refuse to repent because they think that there's no need for repentance because the law has covered them all. That's when you understand when Paul, you know, apostolic prayer, Romans 10:1, pray that the Jews will be saved. You know why? If you understand the context, pray that they know, pray that they have a realization that they need salvation. They need repentance because in this context, they refuse to repent. We don't need to repent because we have the law. We are okay. That's why Paul used Romans chapter 2 to explain. God judge according to the truth. God judge according to the deeds. Are you living out the law? No. Then you're guilty. Then God judge according to the secret of your heart, not just the outward appearance. Okay. Verse 17. Let's go to verse 17. I'm going to read quickly. Verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the... Because they're trying to justify. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make you boast in God. Know His will and approve the things that are excellent being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Basically, Paul is trying to say that, no, you are as guilty because you are not living it out. Verse 20. And the instructor of the foolish, the teachers of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You are not living it out. You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Verse 23. You who make bows in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is returned. Basically, he's talking about you have the law, but you're not living out. You are as guilty. In fact, you are even worse. You are the hypocrite. Okay. Then the last part basically talks about circumcision. Basically, Paul said, circumcision is only outward. Outward can't save you. There must be the inward reality. Let's go to Romans 3, verse 1 to 8. I'm going to read quickly, Romans 3, verse 1, because I want to dwell on Romans, second part of Romans 3. Then next week, I'll unpack clearer, even clearer in greater detail and in depth what Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31 is about, justification by faith. Okay, verse 1 to 8, Romans 3. Basically, Paul is trying to answer three questions, which is vital. Okay, I'm going to give it to you so that when you have that, it's easy for you to understand what verse 1 to 8 is all about, okay? Because there are a lot of questions that pops up. So he's trying to answer three questions. Verse 1 to 8, chapter 3. The first one is this, because they ask this question. Jew is as guilty. So what is the advantage to be a Jew? What is the advantage to be a Jew? Myself, don't be a Jew, you know, that kind of thing. So Paul answer, because Jew, you are given the privilege of receiving the word of God. That's a privilege. Then the second question pops up, which questions about the faithfulness of God. Were the Jews' unbelief cancel God's faithfulness upon the Jew? That's where Paul says, certainly not, because God is going to provide a way out. And the third question, if our sin highlights God's righteousness, how can God judge us? Might as well we go on sinning to magnify the goodness of God. That's what they're trying to say. That's where Paul said, oh, we do not practice evil to prove that God is good. That's the key thing. Let's go to verse 9. Okay, go and read on your own. Verse 9 to verse 20. You got to read right through the whole flow of thoughts by Paul. Then you begin to appreciate what Paul is talking about. Okay, chapter 3, verse 9 to 20. I tell you, this is chapter 3, verse 9 to 20. Verse 10 to 20. Now Paul is making, after he proved that all men are guilty, both Jews and Gentile, now he's making a verdict. He's making a verdict that all men are guilty, all men are sinful, all men are justified for condemnation. Okay, let me read verse 9, chapter 3. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. That means we are all condemned. We are all condemned. We are all justified for condemnation. And from verse 10 to verse 9, verse 20, Paul is trying to explain. Okay, I tell you, you read these few verses, you get a little bit depressed. Okay, you got to read all the way until the end. Okay, verse 10 to verse 12, basically Paul quotes Psalms 14 verse 3. Okay, he basically quotes Psalms 14 verse 3, where he's trying to prove the deficiency of man. Okay, this is a very interesting verse. Interesting two verses. What does God want? Remember we always say, 2 Corinthians 16 verse 7, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro, looking for what? One who is wholehearted in love, isn't it? That means the first commandment, isn't it? Love God with our heart, all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. These two verses talk about that we are incapable of loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let me show you. Verse 10, 11, 12, basically Paul is trying to talk about the deficiency of man. He said this, as it is written, there is none righteous. Not one. Basically, no one seek righteousness. Seeking righteousness is using of the will, isn't it? That's the soul, isn't it? We are incapable of loving God with all our soul. Next one. There's none who understands. We don't understand God. Understanding is to do with what? The mind, isn't it? We are incapable of loving God with all our mind. What's the next one? There's none who seek after God. You seek God with your heart. We are incapable of loving God with all our heart. What's the last one? They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Use your strength, isn't it? Isn't it? We are incapable. You talk about the deficiency of man. We are incapable of pursuing after God wholeheartedly with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Wow. Next one. Next one. Verse 13 to verse 18. Now Paul actually quote from Psalms. I can't remember which Psalms. I forget. Never mind, doesn't matter. Okay, now he talks about the depravity of man. Our speech, our deeds, our heart, it all manifests. Through our speech, our deeds, our heart. We have no desire for God. We have no fear of God. That is the depravity of man. No, we all have that. No, I know people say, yeah, not so bad. Not so bad. It's because of mercy. It's because of grace. Everyone. From the youngest kids to the oldest. Everyone. Okay, that's where Paul said this. Verse 13. The throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of ash is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. All the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. Now verse 19 and 20. Now Paul passed a verdict. Basically, he's saying that all are guilty. No one is capable of being righteous before God. No one can save himself or herself. Okay, let me read. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We are all guilty. None of us can meet the legal requirement of God. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Our sin is revealed because we are incapable. Man, if you stop here, you'll be depressed. Because we are hopeless. Incapable. Thank God for the next 10 verses. I'm going to go through quickly because next week I'm going to go a little bit more in-depth. Okay, let me just give you some simple term so that as you read this, you understand. Okay, Romans 3, verse 21 to 31. Romans 3. No, I really put heart and pain into teaching this because I want us to read and understand and get it. Because we need to understand so that we can walk out the power of grace, firstly. Second, we can be the messenger to teach about grace correctly. That's the key thing, okay? Verse 21 and verse 31, Romans 3. I call it the revelation of the free gifts of righteousness of God. In a sense, it's like, it's the answer to Paul, what Paul said just now. God's solution in saving us from judgment, from wrath, from condemnations. He's offering us the solution, okay? Again, to understand this, you need to understand that the passage is actually written very much in like a legal language. Because the issue of justification, the issue of mercy, the issue of grace is actually very much is a legal matter. That's why Paul used a lot of the legal language, you know, like law, witness, justified, justice, propitiation. Okay, because we need to understand the fundamental issue of salvation is God has to justify that legal requirement that he has set. There's no other way about it. He has to. God is holy. Amen? And he will judge us according to his law. That is the legal requirement. Then there's a problem. We are all sinful. And because we are all sinful, God cannot overlook our sinfulness. You know why? He's righteous. If God is righteous, he has to judge sin. If God is right, if God does not judge sin, he's not righteous. So there's a legal matter here has to settle. Because God is holy. He judges us in accordance to the legal requirement of his word. We are sinful. We are unable to live it out. And God cannot overlook. He cannot bypass. Someone has to pay for the sin. That is the other side of his righteousness. That means God is righteous. And because he's righteous, he has to judge sin. Yet he is righteous. He has to make all things wrong to become right. Now he is providing a way out for mankind. He's paying for the sin by offering up the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. You know why? Again, the legal term. To justify the legal requirement and the justice aspect of God. Wow. Now you understand justice, mercy, grace? Because there's the legal issue. That is Romans 3. Verse 21 to verse 31. God offer his righteousness. Jesus has to be punished on our behalf so that our sin is being paid. That's why when we read Romans, God is both just and the justifier of our sin. He offer unto us this term called propitiation. Okay. I will explain to you a little bit more next week. Let me read, okay? Let me read. Then we're going to close. Next week, we'll go in greater detail so that you don't go back tonight depressed, okay? Let me read right until the end. Verse 21. Remember the previous verse, Paul said, no man is good enough. Everyone is guilty. Everyone is condemned. No one. Okay. Verse 21. But now, wow, what a transition. But now, the righteousness, the translation actually is not that accurate because the translation is righteousness of God. Right. Actually, the more accurate translation is the righteousness from God. Because God is offering his righteousness. Now, the righteousness from God, apart from the law, is revealed. Because you know why? Apart from the law is revealed. Now God is offering another way for us. Not by the observing of the law, because we can't do it. He's giving us mercy. He's giving us grace. He's justifying. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know why? By being witnessed by the law and prophet, because it's always the plan of God. God didn't kind of like, oh yeah, my plan A didn't work, so I come out with the plan B. Plan A is covenant of the law. Didn't work. So now plan B, covenant of grace. No, it's always part of God's plan. But that's why later when you go to Romans 7, I'm going to prove to you we have to get it right. Law is not wrong. Law is not bad. God didn't make a mistake with law. That's where the extreme and the hyper-grace teaching talks about law is bad. No, there is a purpose for law to be given. That is the key thing. Okay. Verse 22. Even the righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification by grace through faith in Jesus. To all and on all, what do you need to do? Believe. There's no other way. Jews is the same. So don't tell the Jews, no, you don't need to believe in Jesus. That is, you are doing them the greatest disfavor. How about the Gentiles? It's the same. Believe in Jesus. Repent and believe in Jesus. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of his glory. No one can make it. That's why God has to make a way. Verse 24, being justified, wow, freely, is free for us, but God paid a price. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation. You must understand this is a very powerful word. You know what this propitiation means? It can define as a peace or atonement. A peace basically means, you know why a peace? You're trying to make happy someone who is upset or angry. That's why it's called propitiation, because God is going to judge. It's a God of wrath. If you read Romans 5, Jesus came to reconcile between God and man so that now there is peace. The peace in Romans 5 is not talking about your peaceful heart. It's talking about now there's a reconciliation. We make peace with God. Now we are no longer enemy. Thank God. There's propitiation. There's another thing called atonement. This is very powerful. What they did in the Old Testament is this. They would take two goat. They would take two goat. What they do is they will slaughter one goat. Every time I read that, I say, poor thing. The one slaughtered is really, then God will say, this is justice. Okay, yeah. So they take two goat. They will slaughter one and take the blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat and so on, because there's always a requirement of the blood for sin. Then they will take the blood after they sprinkle over the mercy seat. They will take the blood, take the second goat, and the high priest will lay hands with the blood on the head of the goat. It's like passing every of the sin on the goat and let the goat go out because of the blood. Now it's free. There's atonement. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. This is very powerful, okay? Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. There must be the blood. But if you read the book of Hebrew, no blood of cow, goat, sheep is enough to save us. It's like Jesus has to come as the sacrificial lamb to make that propitiation. He is the atonement. He's the lamb that was slain. That's why in heaven, everybody will say, worthy is the lamb, because He did pay the price for us. The fact that we can even say the word worthy is the lamb, that's grace. That is grace. Okay. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Now we're talking about twofold. Remember, because God is righteous, He has to punish sin. He's righteous too. He's providing a way out for us. Wow. Only God is able to do it. Okay, say this. To demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sin that were previously committed. Why? Because of the lamb that was slain. This is the term they use for Exodus. Remember? The Passover. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are justified. Verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. He's offering. And now He's talking about His righteousness. He needs to punish sin. At the same time, He has to provide a way out. That's why this term says this, that He might be just. You know why He might be just? He has to punish sin. And the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Why the justifier? He has provided a way out. Now He justified us. He declared us righteous because of justification by faith. I'm not going to read through the rest of the verses. I'm going to run through it next week in more greater detail. I challenge you to go back and read the whole three chapters. Ask God to let the word touch your heart. Let the tears that comes from it. No, I'm not talking about crocodile tears or trying to get emotional about that. That's what you call encountering the true grace and mercy message. You know. You'll be full of gratitude. There's nothing to complain because you already have a good deal. Even today we get nothing, we already have a good deal. The key is we don't fully understand. Of course, God is kind. He's extravagant. He gives us more than what we think. But what I'm saying is that gratitude that comes from our heart, because we are all sinners. By grace, we are saved.